Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I get a chance to preach this morning. I was looking forward to this. I don't know. This is good therapy for me. I get over and I tell you, well, you go back into the Word of God. And it's like last Sunday, I said to you, I was preaching more to myself than I was to you guys. And this is a lot for me today. It's just a good encouragement. Simple stuff we're going to go back into. And we're talking about the laws that govern prayer. And we're going to go back into those things. And dealing with prayer, we had an opening scripture that we used from Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 18, where it says, Paul wrote and said to them to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. But he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication. And I use the International Standard Version. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and request there is. So there's more than one type of prayer, one type of praying. And this is what we need to know. We need to know what the Bible says about prayer. Getting a grip on what the Bible says. Because to me, when I first heard Kenneth Hagin begin to teach on praying and laws that govern prayer and things, and he taught on things, and I started to look at it, it was all new to me. Excuse me. I had never heard anybody ever preach on prayer before until I heard him. And he started talking, the Bible says, and it was really a huge help for me because lots of times I didn't know how to pray about something. I didn't know what exactly to do about it, you know. And all you ever heard was ministers and people say, well, you just need to pray. Well, man, I'm going to tell you, I've done a lot of funerals for people who were praying, but nothing ever worked. Well, if it isn't going to work, what's the point of doing it? You know, we're not just throwing something out there. They have an idea that if we just, you know, throw things out there, that it's just going to work. Well, it doesn't work that way. So understanding prayer and its operations and how it works is one of the most important things for us as believers. We did talk about the Word of God, especially because we need to be in line with the Word of God when we pray. We need to be in line with the Word. So a major thing to coming up to pray is be a person of the Word. Begin to read the Word. Understand what the Word says. The Holy Spirit can't lead you in line with the Word of God. He can't lead you in line with Jesus if you don't know what the Word says. The Holy Spirit takes what belonged to Jesus and reveals it to us. Jesus is the Word of God. Through the Word of God, you know, the Bible's not a textbook. Don't ever treat it like a textbook. That's one of the things a lot of people get over and say, I read through the Bible in a year, and what they do is they read a textbook for a year. But it's not life to them. You need to understand that Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. When you're reading the Bible, you ain't going to understand what the Bible says without the Holy Spirit revealing it to you. Over the years, if I've got a dollar, every time I heard a Christian talk about, well, don't know about how, understand how to be led by the Spirit of God, and I think about, they ain't going nowhere in life. Because if you can't develop as a Christian without knowing the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is one of God's that leads us into all the truth. The one who lives inside of us. That's why God put him in you. You know, he didn't park him 10,000 miles away out somewhere and then give you a long telephone line that can only handle about 10 calls a day, and that's everybody, you know. So you can't get through often. He put him inside of you so you can constantly hear him, and he can teach you the scriptures. He can teach you what it says. He's on the inside, so you're listening on the inside. That's why the most amazing thing, if I would take over the years of ministering to people, stand up front and preach the word, it always sort of just cracks me up how the Holy Ghost works. Because people will walk up to me and tell me what the Holy Ghost revealed them to a certain thing, and I preach, and sometimes I look at them and I just think, you know, we didn't even really talk hardly anything about that. But the Holy Ghost was teaching. There was something from the Scripture that the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden I said, from the Scripture, was revealed to them, and they got light in an area, and it was by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't by my great preaching. It was by the Holy Ghost revealed the truth to them. And they saw something, the light come on. And that's one of the biggest things. I've seen people for years try to stand in faith for something that never works, and all of a sudden one day they get a revelation. All of a sudden, one day, they finally listen to the inner man and let the Holy Spirit teach them. And all of a sudden, those scriptures are not just things to be memorized or said. All of a sudden, the light comes on. They know what it means. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever had that happen. I sure hope you have. But many times, I've had that so many times. I mean, I couldn't count how many times I've had all of a sudden the light come on. I think, my God, I've known that scripture for years. From the standpoint of mental, I could have said what it said, but I said, man, now I know what it's saying. My God, I can see it. I got it. The light come on in the inside. See, now I can walk and live in that thing. Now we're not just, you know, quoting something, making a nice statement. Hallelujah. It's alive. It's real to me. So we want to walk in that area. This morning, I'm going to go over in teaching. We're going to look at talking about the prayer of faith. And you say, well, why? You know, well, the faith, you know, you've taught a lot about it. You've taught on the subject of faith before. Now we're in the areas of prayer, we're going to talk about it. And the reason we're going to keep talking about the faith area and understanding this, because you need to grasp this. One thing is I learned from Kenneth Hagin, because he would always start off, whenever he taught in prayer, he would always teach the prayer of faith. And he would always get into that. And this is the whole reason. You need to understand this. If you don't understand how the principle of faith works, you're going to mostly, your prayer life is going to amount to nothing. I don't care if you spend hours doing it. You need to understand, when you pray in tongues, you got to do it by faith. You know, you could sit there and make noises with your mouth and not amount to anything. Praying, all of it must be done by faith. The principles of faith. Well, one thing you need to understand about faith to begin with is faith is where the will of God's known. You got to know things about the will of God. I don't care if you're going to pray in tongues. You have to know things about the will of God. You know, many people have, over the years, I've had many times people come to me and say, I pray in tongues, but I don't know if it's doing anything. Well, I know this, it's not, because they're not praying by faith. They don't believe it's working. They don't believe it works. Everything you've got to do, you've got to do by faith. So I don't care what type of prayer you're using. If you don't understand the principle of how the prayer of faith works and faith's operation in prayer, you can be talking and really not getting anything done. And it's interesting because you've heard me talk about this before. The terminology and the term faith and trust and all that is thrown out in Christianity and it's just sort of dumped out there. It's like, you know, people know what they're talking about. But, you know, it's just, in fact... yesterday morning, driving up to the med center, I had a station on the radio. It was a Christian station, and they had this program on, and it was like actors talking like through a story. They're telling a story, and the story, you know, they're acting out parts, and you just hear their voices on there, and they're doing it, and like telling a story, but they're telling a story about learning to trust God. And when they did this story, and they went through the thing, and it ends up about trusting God, there wasn't one principle in there where the individual trust God. He didn't trust God for nothing. He just lucked out. Things worked out. But he never trust God for 2 seconds because he was worried the whole time about the thing. He never, the actor never spoke in any positive way that God was going to do anything. And they're just hoping things work out. And he said at the end of it was, well, boy, I'll tell you how it pays to trust God. And I thought, my God, if anybody ever listened to that thing, they would never know how to trust God. Because it was totally unscriptural. Had nothing to do with what faith is. See, it has to be something more to us than just some generic words that we throw out there. And Christianity has done that. When I came into Christianity and started off, you know, they did a lot of explanation on how to, in faith. But, you know, the faith people got over where they started walking around and, you know, quit, you know, like they had to go back over and never, you know, read it again. They just started walking like they knew. And I watched people who had been in it for years, but they walk around and they're really not in faith. They're just talkers. They say words and they got all the Christian cliches, but their faith don't work. I want to have more than that. I don't want you, you know. I have enough sense. I've gotten over already where I was just talking words, and you've been there too. And if you say you weren't, we'll have an altar call for liars and get you saved. You know, get this worked out. Sometimes we're just blowing words. We're not really thinking about it. We're saying the right things, but our heart's not in it. Our heart's not in the thing. And I've been there. I've been there where the Lord's told me that my heart wasn't really in something. He said, your heart's really not in this, or is it? And I'm there, you're right, Lord. It ain't even really in that. And you know what? You can't put your heart into something if you really don't want to really go there. You can't just put it in. You can't make it happen. So faith isn't something that happens off the spur of the moment. Faith is something that's built and lived over time, and it's continuously nourished and built up and kept going. That's why, you know, it says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It don't say it comes, you heard one time, you got it for the rest of your life. It doesn't say that. You see, people get over that idea because, you know, I learned how to stand in faith some years ago and got something done and I can do it again. Not if you ain't been feeding your faith in that area and keeping it developed and keeping it running. It requires it. I don't know about you. I put gas in my car one time and you know what? I had to do it again. How you like that? You can't fill it just once. Amazing. And this is what Christians filled their tank when they got saved and are 40 years down the road, and they have been running on empty ever since. In the first year, they ain't ever been filled again. But, you know, I did this thing. I got saved back then, you know. People say, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, that's great you got filled with the Holy Ghost. That don't mean you're full of the Holy Ghost today. I know I can speak in tongues. Well, so what? That doesn't mean you're full of the Holy Ghost. You got filled with the Holy Ghost once and spoke in tongues. And maybe you can speak in tongues, but that don't mean you're, just because you speak in tongues don't mean you're full of the Holy Ghost. I ain't going to go over and teach you. I can prove by Scripture. See, and people wonder, well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I can talk in tongues. And I think, yeah, sure, that's your belief. But you ought to get the Bible belief sometime. It'd help. See, we got to get back over to believing the Bible. The Bible talks about continually being full of the Holy Ghost. Paul wrote about continually being full of the Holy Ghost. So it's not a one-time deal. Hallelujah. You know, that's how people got over. Once saved, always saved. The Bible doesn't preach it, but men preach it because it sounds good and I can just go live any old life I want and it's all right, I'll be okay. I mean, it would be nice if it was like that, but last time Ed checked, it wasn't. Hallelujah. But this morning we want to look at this. We're going to go over to Mark, the 11th chapter again, excuse me. We want to look at this in scriptures because we want to look at Mark 11, 23 and 24. I'm not going to tell you anything new you haven't heard, but that doesn't mean the Holy Ghost may not reveal something to you in a different way than maybe before that you've seen things. But we want to talk about these, and we need to understand them, and I'm not going to go back to the whole thing. Jesus spoke to a tree and everything. The disciples wanted to know about this. And he very casually spoke to them, not with any kind of big deal. He didn't tell them this is some marvelous secret that nobody ever heard or ever knew. But he tells them how he did to the tree. He speaks to them how they do it. Now we need to understand in entering this, the principle of faith is found in Mark 11, 23. Mark 11, 23 is the foundational principle of all faith. It's the foundational principle. If you don't understand Mark 11, 23 and you can't walk in it and get it to work, you're not going to get it work, your faith working in your prayer life. You're not going to get it working the rest of it. Mark 11, 23 is the foundation of where faith starts, of where it takes off from. And so Jesus, and you know, this is one thing as I learn over time as Jesus as a teacher. If Jesus taught a thing a certain way, there was a purpose that he taught it. He didn't put Mark 11, 24, then say 23. He said Mark 11, 23 and then told 24. And it was for a good principle, because if you don't get 23, and here's where most people's failures in faith is because people are prayers, but they're not sayers. Now, get it to this, saying isn't everything. You can say all you want, but if you don't do and walk in line with what you say, the rest of it ain't going to work. But saying is the principle where we start. But listen what Jesus says in Mark 11, 23. He says, for assuredly I say to you, and let me just say this word assuredly, because they made this statement here, assuredly I say to you, but if you actually would look in the Greek language, and I'm not a Greek theologian or anything like that, so don't put me there. I'm just reading what other people did in their studies about it. But this word that he said assuredly really would be no different than when you would go into a court of law they used to do years ago and you'd lay your hands on a Bible. Today, I don't know, it's probably the Quran, I don't know. But you lay your hand in the Bible and you say, you'll promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They said that's what would really, this is what Jesus is saying, is like a swearing to the, I'm speaking the truth. This is what he's saying here. So in other words, Jesus is laying out a truth. This is a truth, this is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. This is it. And so he says this, he said, whoever says to this mountain, now, first of all, whoever says, you got to talk to, whoever says to this mountain. See, he spoke to a tree. He said, whoever says this mountain. He said, be removed to be cast in the sea. And listen to what he says. And does not doubt in his heart. Remember, we talked about believing in your heart. See, you're believing in your heart. Faith is about from the heart. It's words spoken that are believed in the heart. It's not words spoken because you mentally know them or you can read them out of a Bible. It doesn't say that. He doesn't say that there. I don't care how much mentally you know. I don't know if you know where you can go the chapter and verse and read it. It's not in your heart. It's not in your spirit. The words that you must speak are words that come out of your spirit. That's why Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. You know why he said that? Because Jesus said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. He didn't say any other thing than what God was saying. God is a spirit. He is speaking words from the spirit realm. When you speak out of your heart, you're speaking words from the realm of the spirit. Your spirit is in the spirit realm. You're speaking words out of the spirit realm. Words out of the spirit realm is what changes things in the physical realm. Not words out of your mind. Words out of your mind, you know, they might change somebody else's mind, but they're not spirit and life. They're not that. They're just words. That's why one of the most incredible things you can think of, you hold a Bible in your hand that was inspired by God, words spoken out of the Spirit, to put on a page for us to read. That's why the Bible's so darn important. That's why the churches today don't want it. The devil done convinced them they don't need it. They're bright. We need that. These are God's words breathed out of the Spirit or out of men's spirits, these things came. These didn't come out of men's minds. These are out of the spirit of men. Inspired by God, written down for us, and this same life, that's why. And anybody says, you know, healing ain't for today, he's a mental preacher who says that. He's not a spiritual preacher because he don't understand the book he even got. If that thing worked in the realm of the spirit 2,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago, it has to work the same today. It's words out of the spirit that came to pass. It's words out of the realm of the Spirit. If the Word of God is not really important to you, you're not going very far in God's kingdom. Because those words, that's why we want to understand these words in this book. Because this book, if we learn these words and begin to walk and speak these kinds of words, hallelujah, man can do, all things are possible to him that believeth. It is not all things are possible to him that's religious or knows the Bible. So we need to get over there. We need to understand. It's incredible. It's phenomenal, that book. That's a book that heaven, which is a realm of the Spirit, introduced into this earth and through man breathed it into this earth. And these are words of spirit and life. That's why Jesus said, I don't say any other words than these. Those words changed everything. My words. That's why he could speak to a tree. He didn't walk around speaking words out of his head. You notice he never let the Pharisees control the subject? He always spoke the word. The devil come along speaking. He didn't turn around and get in a conversation with the devil over stuff. He spoke words of spirit and life. Devil didn't know what to do. Why? Those words of spirit and life brought the devil right to a stop. They brought him right to a stop because he's speaking words that will produce things and bring things to pass. He didn't get over in a conversation about something else. And so that's what we do. We need to learn the Spirit. That's why we want this. Words that are believed in the heart then are spoken with the mouth. That's the foundation of the principle of faith. That's what starts everything off. Now, words and speaking isn't what starts it off. You got to have it in your heart. It's not enough to just have the words. You know, I think one of the things that I always felt that they emphasized too much, when I started off in the kingdom, I learned from Brother Hagin about building up your spirit, then learning to speak. And a lot of the faith preachers taught exactly opposite. You just keep speaking the right words till you believe it. And I watch people go and go, and that don't work. No, you meditate on the word, you get it inside of you. Then you won't have to speak it 487,000 times till you finally believe it and it comes to pass. It's like, well, I heard one of the biggest, you know, faith teachers, a guy, and he said one time, well, after I confessed it 400 some times, he said, I didn't remember he said this, exact the number of times, he said, then it came to pass. And I thought, man, that was one of the most unbelief things I've ever heard said out of a man. It didn't come to pass because you said it 400 some times. Jesus spoke one time to the tree and it came to pass. He didn't speak 478 times. What he spoke, he believed in his heart, and he said it, it came to pass. Religious people say, yeah, that was Jesus. Well, that same Jesus said I'd do the same things he did. That's that same Jesus said. So I'm either going to believe Jesus or some preacher. Well, I'm sorry. Jesus always trumps every preacher. I don't care who he is. Jesus always trumps the preachers. What you do want to do is you want to get the word in your heart first. You know, you don't just want around just because you say words doesn't mean that they're just going to get into your heart. That doesn't mean. What you want to do is meditate on word, begin to mutter them, to put them into your heart. But just going around making confession in itself is not. I've watched people make confession and make confession. A guy that I could mention the name of an individual, I heard make confessions and that stuff. The person's gone today, died prematurely, and the whole thing, I've listened to that person, tried to talk to them about their confession. Man, over the years, that person made more right confessions you used to take out, but I knew their heart wasn't in it. I used to try to tell them, you need to shut your mouth and your confessions and get around to getting stuff into your heart and get believing. This is what you can know. If you're confessing and nothing's happening, I'll guarantee what's going on with you, you're not doing. You're not doing. That's what's better. I can just tell you that. That's not to knock anybody. You're not doing. Because this is one thing I found. Whenever I get it into my heart, my mouth don't just say things, my actions change. I can always tell when it ain't people's heart. It ain't their heart. Their actions never change. They just keep doing the same old stuff they always did. That's why you want to get it in your heart. Getting something in your heart changes you. You know, we're singing out, you want to be changed. You'll be changed by God. You need to get God working on the inside. That's what you do. You get changed. God ain't working on the outside. He's working on the inside. So you get it on the inside. Meditation. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin would talk about how before he would say things, he used to say, I'd take time out and I'd just meditate on the word. He said, till I was ready to say. Getting ready. And I thought, I'll tell you what, I learned that over the years. I thought that's a wonderful principle. Because here's what happens. The confessing people who confess first, they always start talking before they're ready. They're always saying things before their heart's ready. They're always saying stuff before their heart's ready. You know, Mike's talking about, you know, just people get overdoing stuff and just we're making decisions too quick. People make faith decisions too quick. You know, they came in the hospital making decisions. You know, Wanda, they wanted to monitor and make a decision about what she wanted to do, you know, right away and all that stuff. I knew in my heart she ain't dying this instant. God's taking her out. I said, I want her to be able to sit and think about what decision she wants to make and what she wants to do. I want her to do that, and we'll let you know. I'll guarantee you 99.9% of spirit-filled Christians would have made a decision right that instant, which they were not ready to make to stand in faith with. I want to know. I want to know where she's going. I want to be able to join her, and I want her to know in her heart what she feels she needs to do and not make it because she feels pressured by other people. That's one thing that I have, is most people are never ready to even go to a doctor. They're not even ready to go to the doctor because when they get to the doctor, everything's done out of their emotions and what they find out going on in them. I mean, you got to go to the doctor by faith. And if you go to the doctor and you hear bad news and you're scared, well, then don't start confessing. That ain't gonna be your problem. You need to deal with your fears. You need to get your fear under control. You make decisions out of fear, and I'll tell you what, you can end up in a mess. That's why a lot of people end up in messes. They end up in messes because they're making their fears driving them. Fear runs it, makes their decisions for them. You don't want to do that. You know, sometimes we may have to make a fast decision, but like Mike says, most of the time you don't ever have to make a pressure decision. You don't. My God, they weren't, you know what? They wanted a decision right away, but they weren't going to operate on it right away. Well, then they don't need a decision right away. They don't need the decision. It's our decision. And if I want to walk by faith, I cannot be moved by what I see. I can't be moved. You know, if you make fast decisions, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're not going to hear from God. And once the decision's made, then what you're going to do is try to get God to take care of what you can't believe for. Oh, yeah, folks, this is great preaching. I've watched people do it all the time. You know, don't be pushed. Don't let fear push you. Don't let people push you. There's only one God that's allowed to push me. I gave him permission. His name's Jesus. He's allowed to. He deserves. I'll tell you what, he's been so good to me, he could push me. He has the right to. I give it to him. Hallelujah. But I ain't giving anybody else the right to push me into something. Nobody else has the right to do that. And if I ain't going to talk it over with Jesus, what am I doing talking it over with a man for? If I ain't interested till after I make my decision, then start praying and ask God to take care of your decision you made on your own. Oh, yeah. You know, most people do that. They make their decision without God and then pray for God to bless their decision? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And if you ain't ever done that again, we'll have an altar call for a liar. Get you fixed up here. We do that. As one thing is, I thank God as I did. You know, that's why I really did appreciate there some years ago Mike was teaching on patience. I needed that. That's why I'd ask him then to come back and preach some more on that, because he needed that. Because the faith people today have no patience. Faith ministers, most of them, have no patience. Everybody's making decisions. Everybody feels pressure to make decisions all the time. You got to make them. People come and try to put pressure on you to make a decision right away. I've learned the most wonderful word, and I've told you this. It's just the simplest word. It's called no. And I can say it to anybody. I'm not ready to make decisions. No. I just think of Wanda. I said, Lord, you just take your time. You decide. When you decide, then we'll make the move. You decide what you want. I'm standing with you. Because he has to be where her heart can go to. It don't matter what Ed thinks he knows. It's hers. And where she stands, then I'll join with her, and I join my faith with her, and that's what we do. We move like that. I've learned over time. That's what makes it work and makes it go. You know, it don't matter what I could believe. Number one, see, other people are always trying to get other people to pray for them and make it happen. Well, it don't work that way. They can't go no further than you'll let them. If other people are praying for you and it ain't working, it's because you have pulled the plug on your drain and everything ain't working. It's your problem. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, but it's your problem. It's not being ugly. Sometimes people can't pray for other people because they won't ever go any further than they stay in their little ditch and then are trying to get everybody to pray them out of the ditch. But they're staying in that ditch and they're living in that ditch and they want to be in that ditch. This is all the further they're going to believe is that ditch. And they wonder, well, why don't this work? Somebody pray for me. You know, maybe if I can just go, maybe I can go get to this minister and they'll pray and they'll make it happen. Or and I see people, they go places and do things, but it don't work. They stay in the ditch. So it's like with Wanda, I can't force Wanda to believe what maybe I could believe or I want to try. I'd be foolish of me to even consider something like that. Hallelujah. I found out where her faith is. It's where two agree. This is where some people, you know, they're so big-headed about their faith, they're always trying to push their faith off on somebody else. They don't realize they run around hurting more people than they help, thinking they're some kind of spiritual giant. You can't push your things off. God don't make you believe something. If you don't want to believe it, he don't come down and thump you on the head because you didn't want to believe it. We shouldn't do things like that to other people. Find out where they can stand. Find out what they can do. You know, and sometimes, you know, I've had God, you know, just merciful tell me, you know, he'd do more for them. And if I'd stand, he'll do it for them. But until you learn to stand with them, two is agree. I found out, man, it's amazing how wonderful God can work when two people just get in agreement. You know, people say, well, that's sort of low level. Well, my words. I mean, it's like Brother Hagin used to say, my God, if you go to the doctor and you can live, go ahead and do it. if you couldn't live without it, why die early? It's dumb. People do dumb things. We're not dumb, are we? Hallelujah. But see, we need to understand believing in your heart. And I want you to get it, because this is the foundation. If you're going to pray the prayer of faith, you have to have the foundation of understanding the prayer of faith is prayed words from your heart and what you believe in your heart. That's what it is. It's about the words that you believe in your heart that you're going to say with your mouth. Now, we find out that Jesus, when he gets to Mark 11:24, he tells you exactly, so we're the prayer of faith, we're told exactly how we're supposed to believe, exactly. If you find another alternative and you do it, you're going to find lots of times things don't work for you. He tells you exactly how you're supposed to do it. Now, the prayer of faith is dealing with some things specifically about you. We've talked about this before, but I want to reiterate it because people keep getting off all the time and moving into wrong areas. Jesus said, therefore, I say to you what things you ask for. As I made this mention about that word ask there is actually in the Greek word. That Greek word actually could mean desire, what the King James says desire. It also could mean require. They could all be put in there. When it's talking here about what you ask or what you require or you desire from God. So it's dealing with your desires or what you require or you're asking for, not what somebody else needs or wants. You understand that? Many times what we're doing is we're in an area trying to get things for people. We have no authority to get them. You know, sometimes people, my kids were little, they were under my authority, I could ask God for anything, get it for them. I can't today. I can't do that. Because they have to be, now they're old enough, they have to have their faith to do that. I can't do that anymore. Now I can get an agreement with them. This is one thing about agreement. You get people that understand the principle of faith, you can get an agreement on things where they can stand for it. You can get stuff done. We keep trying to get things done for people who don't want to even be interested in faith or anything. We're always trying to get stuff done for people, for Christians who really don't give a rip. And we keep trying to get things done for them. Dear God, best thing we do is send them home. Dear Lord. My words, loads of them become nothing but nuisances. And they do. They just become nuisance in life to everybody around them. Because they don't want to know. They're always trying to get somebody else to do something for it. But the most wonderful thing, if you understand the principles of faith, how it works, then you have the prayer of agreement. And Jesus himself said in the prayer of agreement that those two people, whatever they ask, would be done. That's a phenomenal thing. In other words, the things that two people will agree on is powerful. Most of the time, we're praying for people who are not in agreement with what you're praying. You must break the brakes on. When you're going to deal in the areas of faith, the person in dealing with agreement, you have to believe the same thing or there's no agreement. Just because somebody asks you to pray for them, it doesn't guarantee anything that your prayer is going to even be answered or listened to by God. You have no guarantee only if you're believing identically the same thing. That's the only thing. It doesn't matter. You know, people praying for a God, they want divine healing. We have a miracle, and the person they're believing, you know, they're going to have to go another route or do something else. And that's what they believe. But they'll say, pray for me. And really, what they're doing is they're saying, let's go to God's craps table, and let's get the dice, and we're just going to roll these things and hope we hit a 7 or 11. We're just going to... Now, I'm not trying to knock it, but that's what people are doing. It's no better than that. They aren't in a place, they're not believing that God's going to do anything. To agree with an individual, you're going to have to understand the prayer of faith. Or agreement is not what you're doing for somebody. You can't have a prayer of agreement with someone unless you know and you can pray the prayer of faith and know how to do it yourself. You have to, because it requires the prayer of faith to pray in agreement with another individual. It requires it. Now, I want you to see this when we go to Mark 11, 24. So, but in 23, you know, it sets the principle that one must believe in their heart. Our faith is in your spirit, and you say out of your mouth what is in your heart. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'll guarantee you, every one of you here probably have things in your heart. If you would ever listen on the inside, you could do some incredible things, because there's things inside you that you never listen to. And you see, you never say them. You always talk basically about what you see around you, what's going on, is in your heart. See, this is one of the things that I've learned over time when pressure's on and things are going on. It gets quiet. Sometimes people still come to, I've never had a time that I get under, when pressure starts to come, I get quiet. People say, well, what's wrong, Ed? Like, something matter with Ed, he's quiet. No, Ed knows when the pressure comes, I got to quit listening to Ed. Now, I got to go be able to hear on the inside. I get quiet. Because I want to know what's in. If I run into something there that's ready on the inside, then let's get that out on a voice. That's what I want to bring. What's going on the inside? Inside, Mike said about wisdom today. On the inside is that wisdom about a decision. You're going to make a decision? Most people will make the decision without. They'll say, God, give me wisdom, but they don't shut up for 10 seconds. They don't ever look. What they're looking for, there's somebody else come and give them the wisdom in a natural. They're not expecting all of a sudden to know it. They can know the wisdom of God. I always found this out, and I'll tell you what, it works. I have proved this out hundreds and hundreds of times in my life. When a situation comes up and things are tough, if I get quiet, I have never had a time that God hasn't shown me something. Never, never had one time. There's times that God hasn't spoke to me, it's because I didn't quit. I stayed noisy. I wanted an answer. But I was too busy following the direction of what was going on around me. You've been there too, so, you know, you've been there too. It's getting quiet. See, we're in a society that we got to make immediate change. You know, we vote a guy in office and everything has to change tomorrow. And the guys we vote for them all out of our emotions and what we think out of our minds, and that's why we got the mess we got. We say we want God's guy, we would have no clue who God even wanted. We have no clue who God would want. We're so busy following what we think we know. Folks, it's good preaching anyhow. But we're dealing the areas of faith. Why? We want our prayer. I want my prayer life to work. Ain't nothing makes me better than I spent time praying and it didn't work because I did something stupid. I don't know if I, maybe a lot of people, that must not aggravate them because they go for years and never get their prayers answered and don't see the bottom at all. They just keep calling other prayer chains and calling, trying to get other people to pray for them and do stuff. I mean, to me, that'd make me so darn mad. I like getting my prayers answered. So, Mark 11:24 lays down the laws that now govern the prayer of faith. It tells us what it is. Mark 11:24 says, therefore, I say to you, therefore, or we would probably would be better said to us in our vernacular day, or because of Mark 11:23, because of this principle in Mark 11:23, because of this believing in your heart and then saying words with your mouth. Here's what he says about the thing. He says, whatever thing you ask when you pray, or the thing you desire when you pray, or the thing that you're requiring when you pray, that thing, because of this Mark 11:23 principle, he says to this, the things that you ask, believe that you receive them. You have not prayed the prayer of faith if you have not believed God said yes and gave you what you wanted. That you have never prayed the prayer of faith. If you're still looking for God to give it to you, you are not have not prayed the prayer of faith. Our job is not to look to see if it's going to come. We're supposed to believe. Our job is not to believe what we see. Faith, if you go over Mark in Hebrews 11 chapter, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see the answer, but I'm supposed to talk like I have it. That's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith believes it has received. It doesn't believe it's going to receive. If you believe you're going to get it sometime, you have not prayed the prayer of faith. That's not the prayer of faith. This is where people mess up. This is why people go into all this confession stuff and just keep confessing and confessing. They have the idea if they keep confessing, it produces it. What that will put you into is a God syndrome. You believe that it's your job to bring it to pass. So now you have put God out of the picture. Now you're God, you're going to bring it to pass. I don't bring any of it to pass. When I found out that I wasn't God and I didn't have to be, what a relief that was to Ed. Because Ed wasn't doing very good as the God guy anyhow. I made a lot of decisions in my life and my God decisions didn't turn out well. I gave up the business of being God. Ain't no point in Ed being God and ain't no point in you being God. What your job is, this is what the prayer of faith does. The prayer, ask God for something or require something or desire something. It's about what you desire, what you want. What you desire, and then you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to believe this. Now, understand, you're supposed to be believing this in your heart. See, this is what most people go, and their whole focus is about asking. If you ain't got it in your heart, don't even bother asking. It ain't coming to pass. You have it in your heart. This is in your heart. You know, I'll use Mike and them as an example, but I'm not, and it's not an example of criticism, but it's really, it was a great teaching thing to me when the Lord spoke to me about what was in Mike's heart to build a house. And Mike thought about changing that and doing something left. And the Lord said, I ain't going to be able to work with Mike in doing that. I can't do it. Because that's not what he's in his heart. God can work with what's in your heart. That doesn't mean he can work with what's on your mouth. God can only work with what's on your mouth if it's what's in your heart. Do you understand that? He can't work outside. You know, and when he did that with Mike, that became a great, was a good teaching thing to me. I thought, yeah, because see, people are always teaching, oh, just keep confessing, confess, and you'll come to believe it. That's what God said to me. God said to me, he can only bring to pass what's in Mike's heart. And you know what? Mike's confession went back to what was in his heart, and it came to pass. And didn't God do a good job, Mike? Hallelujah. What? God wanted to fulfill the desire that Mike had in his heart. God didn't need that house. You know, would have been a desire to have a small place out someplace, that would have been fine with God. God would want ever what was in his heart to bring it to pass. You have things in your heart that God wants to bring to pass, and you know, you're running around and after things that are a whole lot less than what could be brought to pass for you. Oh, I know that. I know just standing there. I know inside of me. There's bigger things in you people than what you've been asking for or believing. You go around trying to get stuff, trying to figure out, you know, it's like a person that comes along and, you know, I want to get, you know, this thing fixed enough to get by. It's not what's in your heart. People do that all the time. I've done that thing. I would get something that would be enough to get me by. And praying and asking God, going through all the things. Man, it's spiritual, man. You're a real spiritual dude. And the whole time in my heart was for something greater. I never went for that. And I took the lesser, and you know what? Was sorry after got it. I'm going to tell you this. Whenever you ask God for something, normally the devil's going to come and offer you for something less, and most Christians will take it. They won't stick with what's in your heart. They don't stick with what's in your heart. All things are possible to him to believe. I'm totally convinced that Ed bypassed a lot further than I could have gone on things because of what's in my heart. We have vision and dream inside of us. We got vision and dream inside of us. And we just keep talking these little dreams, these little visions. And we're just talking the get by stuff. And we want to go over to that place. We like that. We think those scriptures are neat. Say, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the whole time in our own hearts. I know at times I do things and I'm thinking, my heart ain't hooked up in the direction I'm going. I need to get over what my heart wants to go. There's nothing more fulfilling to a Christian or any individual in life when their heart's desires come to pass. Not their fleshly desires. I've watched Christians come along and they want their fleshly desires fulfilled. Well, God will give me the desires of my heart. And I know, yeah, it ain't their heart what they're heading to do. And they'll get their fleshly desires, and after a while, that ain't happening. You know, I always watch people do this. I watch people who go around, they'll buy a new car, and then, you know, it's a big, wonderful thing, and then next thing, they have to have another new one right away. They got to have another. They just can't, nothing ever satisfies. Now, wow, they're not operating. I watch Christians do it all the time, you know. It's never enough. You know, there's never a satisfaction. Nothing matters with having something new and getting something new. And I don't care, and God don't care if a person wants to do it. But if you're not satisfied unless you get that, then there's something wrong with you. You're operating in the areas of the flesh. It's about heart satisfaction, about being satisfied on the inside. When I found out that when Ed started developing a little bit and when I would get my heart satisfied, to me it was like, wow, what a satisfaction. Because, you know, there was that peace and that rest on the inside. It's that what's going on in the inside. It's that inside of you. And it's like, man, I arrived at it. I got to that place that what's inside of me got fulfilled. And it's like, whew, that's what I needed. That's what I needed. To me, they're the biggest achievements in my life that I've ever got to is the place of the fulfillment of what's in my heart. See, most Christians are looking around. They're trying to fulfill just like the world is. And that's why a lot of the teaching on faith and on finances got so far out because it's got over. And even the ministers, it's about fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And it's over always trying to get stuff. That's not the fulfillment. Stuff will never fulfill you. Stuff ain't going to do that. Stuff ain't going to. I see people and they turn around. Even they want their something, their health change. But I'm wondering if you don't change in how you operate and work spiritually, you can get your health back and still be a miserable mess. It don't matter. It's about getting things on the inside and learning to work those things on the inside. This is what Jesus is talking about. You desire. It's number one, I've come along in life and never thought sometimes out thoroughly what I really needed. You know, the prayer of faith is not some frivolous thing to throw out there and just to get something. You know, I realized that I was sometimes didn't really put the thought in that I needed to Ed, what do you really need? What should be your desire? What should you really want? There's a situation here. What do I want in turning that thing out? See, that's why I quit praying. I don't go along with people say, well, hey, you know, quick prayer. Would you pray for me right now for this thing? I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. They want a quick prayer. What they want is they just want the McDonald's stuff, and I know what type of person they are. It ain't going to work for them. If they get it answered, they're going to be miserable and chasing another preacher down someplace else for something else. That's what they're going to be doing. Because they've not put any thought into this thing. Think about this. This prayer works for anything that you desire or pray for yourself will come to pass. Most Christians are like a baby with a loaded gun. And they're as dangerous as that too with their prayer life. You can get things in your heart and bring them to pass. You'll wish you'd have never got it into your heart and brought it to pass. Many people, you know, it's like when Kenneth Hagin told me, and I heard him preaching to me as he was telling me. He was on a tape in Ed's house talking, and I figured it was him speaking to Ed. And he said, if your life's a mess, don't blame anybody else. You made it that way. You made the decisions of your life. You made the decisions. You get older, you know, you're not under somebody else's care. You're making decisions. You know, it's about if you married the wrong person, that's your problem. Don't sit down and complain about everybody else about it. You made a decision. Did you talk to God about that decision before you? Well, you know, no, I didn't. Looked good to me. It looked like a honey to me. I took that one, I'll tell you. We don't like to hear these things. But folks, when we're getting over, see, when you get over and you talk about, we're talking about one of the most dynamic things that God would entrust to you, the fact that whatever you get into your heart, that you can bring this thing to pass. It's phenomenal. Children of Israel wanted a king. Got into their heart. He said it with their mouth. God said to the prophet Samuel, let him have it. And then he told him in the 8th chapter how it was going to turn out. And they got every ugly thing. They thought they were getting the king. It was going to turn out nice. Every ugly thing that come with the king, they got. Israel was never in the perfect will of God after that. It was never in God's perfect will that Israel ever had a king. So the king's command, David wasn't the perfect will of God. It was the best God could do for a bunch of idiots. See, most preachers never read the Bible and they teach this stuff. They don't realize what's going on and what's happening. We're living in a world today created by mankind. And the church has been on the side of believing all kind of little stuff and pansy stuff and all kind of things, thinking they're being real spiritual. Things that really need to be changed, most of the church knows nothing about. And we've been given this prayer thing that you believe something in your heart, you ask for that thing, that desire, you ask for it. If you believe you receive it, that thing ends with, and you will have them. Now understand about this. So we pray about our desire or whatever it is that we want. So we ask for it. This is what you do. They're setting this law. You must pray or ask for the thing you desire. Then our job is finished with this. If you've arrived there, then you must believe you receive that desire at the time, not when it shows up, at the time that you pray. Jesus gave the rule. It is always going to work this way. The rule states that you must believe that you have what you ask for at the time that you prayed. That's the rule. That's the prayer. Anything outside of that ain't the prayer of faith. Then it makes the statement, Jesus says, and you'll have it. And you'll have it is not yours. That's his job. He's the guy that brings it to pass. To me, that was the most wonderful thing because, you know, here's what one people, I've had people come to me, well, I'm believing God for this, and how's he going to do that? Well, I say, you ain't got to believing yet. Because you're just trying to figure out how it's going to show up and everything. So you don't believe you got it. You're over on the God side trying to figure out. Because see, you have to understand the path of how it's going to come and how it's going to work. Or how's it going to work, you know. I don't even care how it comes. I don't care if it drops out of heaven on a meteor. I don't give a rip. What I'm asking for, it is God. Understand this. God, if I'm in faith, God has to bring it to pass. If he don't, he's a liar. If I follow this principle, I do what it says. I believe in my heart. I ask him for it, and I say, and you ought to say this, Lord, right now, when you pray the prayer of faith, thank you, Lord, I believe it, I got it, it's mine. If you haven't done that, you haven't prayed the prayer of faith. Most people have never prayed the prayer of faith. No, I believe I have it. And from that time on, there's only one thing Ed will ever say about it. I don't make a whole bunch of confessions and all these people going around confessing. The only thing I ever said, if it comes to my mind, thanks, Lord, for giving that to me. I really appreciate you doing that. You sure do like me. You're so good to me. I just wanted to thank you. See, I can tell most people ain't faith. That ain't the way they talk. I'm believing and praying. I'm still believing and praying. Oh, I'm getting a prayer group together too. And they'll believe and pray with me. And what they're telling me is, yeah, we got to keep hounding God to get this thing. We don't believe he's given it. We don't believe he's given it to us. So we're going to act like he didn't give it to us. And then wonder why, well, sometimes it really takes long times to get it, bring it to pass. Yeah, and at that rate, it won't even come to pass at all. You'll be standing there next year, and the year after, and the year after, and the year after. Why? Because we don't follow the principles laid down. The great success of, what was the minister in Africa? John G. Lake. John G. Lake, he inspires me. Things about him really inspire me. But one of the things that he had that really gripped me when I read, you know, his book and read about him and that stuff, and I have a couple books, things about John G. Lake. But John G. Lake was over in this area. He said, if Jesus said something about something, he said, that was the last word said. He said, I don't care what anybody else says on the subject. I don't care what any other preacher says about Mark 11, 23 and 24. It's what Jesus said. I don't care what Kenneth Hagin preached. If it wasn't exactly like Jesus talked about, you're going to get into error. Jesus didn't go into some kind of, 47-week teaching course to try to tell them how to pray the prayer of faith. You know why we have to teach on it so much today? Because Christians have been taught so wrong about it, so long. You're trying to drill. It's like you got this layer of granite that you're trying to drill down through to get to break it open so they'll release those crazy beliefs they got about it and believe what Jesus said. It's simple. It's the most simple thing. Excuse me. I think that's one of the problems. It's so simple. Religion. Well, we got to complicate it. I got to make it hard. My God, are you telling me that this guy over here, he doesn't live as good as I do, and God will answer him and praise the prayer of faith? Yeah, probably quicker than you just because of what you told me you think. Because you think you're special. He'll answer prayer because you're so special. He didn't say here, if you're so darn special and you just say this and that and the other thing, I'll give it to you. The only thing required if you go on to 25 is about walking in love. Another thing you got to see is something against your brother. You know, go fix it. Gee, that was a toughie. See, loads of people think, oh, well, I'm a much more spiritual person, then it ought to operate better than me. I found out it don't. I could get this prayer to work for me from the time I've been a baby Christian. I got to fill with the Holy Ghost in my house without having a preacher come laying hands on me. Well, I learned the prayer of faith. Kenneth Hagin told me, once I found that principle, I feel, my God, you can ask anything about this stuff at work. No, everybody else needs 47 sermons, and we got to listen to at least 18,000 TV programs and everything else. Listen to them tell us this, and we're still trying to figure it out. Why? Because we haven't believed Jesus. He said in two scriptures, so darn simple, it would take 1,000 preachers to mess it up, and they have done well. It's so simple. Think of the simplicity. All of you and I have to do is get the Word of God in our heart. Go to a prayer. Now, first of all, there's things you can speak and bring to pass. Well, it's one thing the Lord said to me about speaking, bringing things to pass. He told me some years ago, this is long years ago back, the Lord spoke to me one day and said, did you notice that Jesus never prayed about animate objects? He only ever spoke to them. I never knew that in Scripture. I never had a preacher ever tell me that. Kenneth Hagin never ever said that to me. And I thought, He said, yeah, he talked to storms, he talked to trees. He said, you can do those things, you can talk to stuff. He said, you can talk to things. Jesus didn't pray about the fish and the gold coin. He just told Peter, go and he'll find it there. He spoke. And the Lord said, you don't need to pray about none of that stuff. You speak to it. I'll never forget he taught me that. And the first chance I had at it, we were down on street ministry down in Reading. And up north side of Reading, up there, the gang stuff going on. In fact, we were down talking to this gang. It was the guys in the gang. We went down there. People said, you shouldn't go down there. I said, well, God put us there. I mean, I wouldn't go down there just, Ed's going to go do something. But we were there, and I walked down and was talking to to these guys down there. And I'm going to tell you what, they showed us more respect than most other Christians would, talking to them. And they did. We talked to them and just, you know, shared Christ with them, told them, you know, just talk about the love of God, you know, and we were interested in them, and we told them, and they were very respectful to us. But I'll never forget, we're standing there, and the clouds, it started getting dark, and man, it is getting black. I mean, it were getting black. And this storm was really billowing up. And I had a team of guys from down at Teen Challenge. And they were all, man, we got to get out of here, get somewhere out of the rain. And I said, look, I said, God told me to come down here and do this. And I said, he didn't send me down here to pour down rain on me and run me off. I said, this ain't nothing but the devil. I said, this storm ain't going to run me off. Now, let me tell you, folks, I'm a young Christian. I'm a young Christian. I hadn't had 47,000 teachings, you know, and want to, you know, I've been, you know, for years and years of teaching. But what I heard, I just learned it. And I said, that storm? I said, I'm going to tell you what, that storm ain't coming here. And I looked up that storm in front of them, and they were standing there. And, you know, after I did it, I thought, my God, they think this man's crazy. I think I might be right, a little bit nuts. And I said, storm, I command you to get out of here right now. I said, you ain't coming here. I said, we're preaching the gospel, because we had a band set up in a street, you know, on a park near there. And we were going to have people come in, and then they had an evangelist going to preach there and get people saved. Well, you think God sent a storm to run the evangelist off? Well, most Christians, majority of Christians think so. Majority of Christians think, well, we just picked the wrong time. God told you to go there. You don't ever think you picked the wrong time. The devil will come and send a storm so you can say God did it. And I spoke to that storm. Well, we found out later the storm didn't come. All of a sudden, this storm broke. And half of it went north on the north side, up past the north side of the town, and the other half went the other side of town. I actually did some pretty much destruction of places. The storm went, and we had completely dry where we were, had the meetings out and out, and everything went great. Because the Lord gave me that revelation and said to me, Jesus talked to him. He didn't pray about him. See, one of the things that one of these guys wanted to stop and pray about this thing in the storm, and I said, nah, we ain't praying to it. We ain't praying. We don't have to pray to it. Jesus spoke to the storms. He listened. See, most people, yeah, that was Jesus. See, the Bible is a dead book. It's a textbook. That's all it is. Most preachers, the Bible's a textbook. And this is, they preach out of their textbook. That thing's spirit, that's the words of God for the heart of Ed Gibson, for him to say those words, hallelujah, to change things. You want to change things in the spirit realm? Start praying in line with the word. This is one of the reasons we have all the problems in our nation, because prayer hasn't been going up according to the word for many. Most people are praying, oh God, help us, we're just in trouble. They ain't praying the word, praying the problems. Worried about what's going on, worried about who's in what and this and that, instead of taking the word of God and say, God, here's what your word said. God, you said, start speaking words, believing them in your heart, speaking with your mouth. It's like the Lord rebuked me back, and I've talked about this before with Kenneth Copeland, Bill Clinton as president. Bill Clinton was president, and I'd pray for Bill Clinton. And when the Lord told me, he says, don't do you any good to pray for Bill Clinton. He said, you don't believe anything you pray anyhow. He said, if you believed, he said, you wouldn't be talking, saying some of the things you say. I said, dear God, I said, you're exactly right. Man, I got rebuked. I said, you're exactly right. He said, you don't expect me to bring any of that to pass. You know what? It wasn't really in my heart. What was in my heart about Bill Clinton is I didn't like him. That was what was in my heart. I'm going to tell you what. If you have bad things in your heart, there's one thing about, I don't like what the president does, but if you have a bad in your heart about him, don't bother praying. Please don't. I don't have to like, I'm not supposed to like what he does. But I'm going to tell you what, I can't let hatred or anything like that get into my heart, because that'll just stop prayer. I don't want to stop prayer. I'm not going to hate. I hate what he does. But I'm going to tell you what, I really feel bad, because if that man dies, he's in hell. He's going to be in hell, and he's going to suffer terrible in hell because of what he's done in this earth to so many people. He don't need Ed Gibson as an enemy. He's his own worst enemy. He's his own worst problem. Not me. He is. And I'll tell you what, it needs God's help in this thing. It don't have the answer. It can't make it come to pass. The best thing I can do is find what God says and say what God says. That's why one of the things when you learn to pray in tongues by faith, the Holy Ghost in you speaks God's words through you to bring God's will to pass. God got us in a fixed system, you know it? If you understand this faith principle and how it works, this is a fixed system. It's fixed on your behalf to bring to pass the things you desire. It's wonderful. There's nothing more glorious than this. And it's so simple. It's been so complicated. You know, I think about this because this is the way that Kenneth Hagin taught these principles in here. Jesus just said these four steps. If you'll follow these four steps, if you just follow these things, it'll work for you. And it's so simple. It's been so complicated. Things have been brought in and said and done, and it hasn't helped people bring to pass the things that are in their heart to do. And I'll tell you, we're going to bring to pass things in our heart. God's put things in our hearts. And I'll tell you, let's bring them to pass. Let's let those things come to pass. Let's quit holding back. Let's quit trying to reason in our mind because, yeah, what's in me just seems too big to put on the outside. How is that going to happen? How could that possibly take place? Let's get over the place. I don't care. We say God can do anything. Well, let's get over there and believe that. So anything that's in my heart, He's big enough to blow that thing up and bring it out. And it don't matter about Ed. It don't matter how far Ed's mind can reach in this thing. My God. I hope Ed can go further than his mentality or you're in trouble. Dear Lord. My God. And if you think my mind's bad, just think about yours. It's good preaching anyway. I heard Kenneth Hagin talked about one time about believing God, and he says he has trouble believing something. He said, if you think I'm having trouble, he said, just think about how bad off you are. And I thought, he's exactly right. If he's having trouble, what about Ed? Dear God, I ain't even in the ballpark he was in then. Dear Lord, I couldn't even conceive of thinking where he was going. And understand yourself. But you know, I guarantee you, look into your hearts. There's desires and things in your hearts. You know, when Mike was talking this morning about, you know, things, people, about taking jobs, you know, finding what's in your heart. You know, back many years ago, probably over 20 years ago, I read a book, and I still have the book, and I've talked about it before, of a guy who today is probably about a billionaire. He was many multi-millions there back then. An Australian gentleman, a Christian, who wrote a book. And it's like Mike said, this man never... He never took a job. He said, I never took a job or ever started a business based on money. He said, I always followed what was in my heart to do. And he said, money always followed me. I thought, that's phenomenal. He said, there's businesses that I've started. I have made hundreds of millions of dollars off of it that everybody told me I was a fool for trying to do the things I did. But he said, it was in my heart to do it. And he made this statement. And I thought, when he said it, it really struck me because I was sort of like in the middle of that at the time. He said, most Christians live and die and never do what's in their heart to do. He said, I feel so sad for them. He said, I feel bad for Christians. They never follow what's in their heart. They're always doing what they think they need to do to get by. And I thought, oh man, he's talking to Ed. He's talking to me. And he's talking to you too. There's things and dreams in our hearts that we want to do. And let's put it, be honest, we've been afraid to step into it. And the reason, one of the things you fear to step into it, let me tell you this, you know why? Because you've never put on your mouth what's in your heart. Until you start saying that thing, that fear will always have the preeminence. That fear will. You know, sometimes, let me just say these things. When people don't follow things in their heart, sometimes people think they need healed. They don't need healed. They need to follow what's in their heart. If they begin to follow what's in their heart, healing would be a natural thing for them. They keep praying for healing. Healing ain't what they need. I found out this. When I would start moving in a direction what's in my heart to do, it was amazing how other problems in my life would straighten out. Why? Because I am operating against what's in my spirit to do. In a sense, I'm in disobedience. I'm disobeying in the life that's in me to do. You know, it says, and I'm not just trying to use Mike all the time as an example. With Mike and his schooling and all with it, that was a rough time, a thing to do. But, you know, it's just like he said, it fulfilled. My God, he could have taken the job promotion, but it would have never been the money, and he'd had 1,000 times more headache dealing with idiots. And God set him over in a place where he don't have to deal with the idiots. He can deal with intelligent people that know something, and he can make great money at it. You follow what's in your heart. It wasn't easy for Mike to follow what was in his heart, but it fulfilled, following that fulfilled the other dreams that God wanted to bring into his life. You know, he didn't want to go further than other jobs, complications over there to go to be. You know, some of you, the worst thing you need is a promotion where you're at. That's the worst thing you need. You're going to be griping after you get that. Listen, what's on the inside? Most people are working at the place they didn't even want to work at. When I left Reese Candy Company, when God called me to go to Raymond to Bible school, I did not have one Christian told me they thought that was a good idea. Every Christian, well, you're leaving a good job and all this stuff. What are you? Well, you sure it's God? And I thought, my God, every one of them need to get saved. God tells somebody to do something, it's outside the ordinary, the fears of their life. And they're afraid. That's what it is. It's the fears of things. Fear-driven. And those of those Christians had messed up lives, sickness, and disease. They didn't need healing. What they needed to start following their hearts. Man, their health would have got better if they had followed what's in their heart. See, you can't disobey what's on the inside of you. You can't do that. That's life working in you. That's life inside of you. There's a dream inside of you. And whatever that dream is, start working to develop that. Get in contact with it. Talk to God about it. Say, look, God, this thing's in me. What else do I need to know about this, God? This thing's working in me. Find it out, you know? I mean, from Mike's standpoint, he had the desire in him concerning that educational thing, but that was huge hard. You know, this wasn't like going out here to the average college today. The average college student wouldn't even got, you know, near getting anything in that, and they wouldn't even think in that level. But he's out here, moving in a direction, God sent him in a direction that's hard. And in his field, I mean, this is a tough place to go. It don't seem funny, but it's about fulfilling what's in his heart. Mike's on the other side of it now. Now he looks back and he says, man, this was the thing I needed. See, Mike could have went the other way and done that. You know what? Mike would be still trying to fulfill that spot in him. You don't have to anymore. He followed that direction. He followed a direction and God moved him into something. And that's just like with us. It's the same way. If I wouldn't have left Reese's and went on into school, if I wouldn't have obeyed God in those things, I could have wanted to maybe lived a nice life. I'd have never been fulfilled. I'd have come along in life and had problems and stuff to come along and never get solved, and I'd wonder why. I wonder why things wouldn't get fixed. I wouldn't wonder. I'd be over here praying, trying to get this fixed, and the whole time, really, I'm out of what's in my heart to do. Your heart's your place of life, folks. Don't fill your hearts with dreams and visions if you don't want to bring them to pass. Don't fill it with stuff. Don't get longings in your heart if you're a person who's just going to sit on your longings and not do nothing about it. You get dreamed to do things, you know. I mean, the best thing you can do is don't get stuff in yourself if you don't want to do nothing. Because you'll never be happy. Proverbs tells you, he said, desire that's not fulfilled makes the heart sick. That's what the Bible says. That's wisdom. It'll make your heart sick. You'll become sick spiritually if you keep putting off what's inside of you. It don't ever get fulfilled. There has to be nothing worse. I know people called to the ministry and they know it. And I've known them for all the years I've been saved and they've never moved toward it. And you know what? As the years gone by, they have gotten sicker. They have gotten more miserable people. They're just, you know, discontents. Why? They never followed. They never followed the place that God was leading them to. One guy I know, he said, oh, when he retired, all he was going to do, God told him to go. He was supposed to be in the ministry many years before he went to retirement from Hershey. And you know what? He's retired now from Hershey, and he ain't got a chance to go into ministry. He's too sick. His retirement and stuff is just to try to keep him. He's in pain all the time. He's got trouble. And I know why. Well, you can sit and people say, this guy can run around and test all the time. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I never tell. He's asked me to pray for him. I've never responded to him, but I pray for him because he doesn't need healing. He needs obedience to the vision that's in him. He needs obedience to the vision. You don't do the vision. He's made his own heart sick. His heart can't keep him well. His heart can't. He's against his own heart. He's against what's already in him. It's good preaching, folks. Don't go against what's in your heart. What's in your heart is, you're a Christian, it's life. God put dreams in you. My God, you want to do the dream. You want to keep that life. God puts dreams in people of businesses and whatever else. Whatever else he puts. It ain't just ministry, being out preaching. Whatever else. God puts visions in people to do stuff. Do it. It's just like a guy was talking about in Australia. He's out there doing those things. God puts stuff in his heart and he just makes money at it. He does. I mean, the man's a huge giver, just gives money like crazy. But it's in his heart to go do these things. He said, I get to start businesses, employ people. He said, I get to take care of people's families. I get to do all this stuff. See, everybody says, today, here's the idea. Here's the idea of the socialist Christian. We're running around out of our paycheck trying to give somebody money all the time. Why don't we get over where we can start businesses and get jobs? Quit being Obamas. We need to stop it. The church got guys like Obama in because we've been practicing it longer than he has. The church has been destroying the economy. You know, man, God will give you a vision to get rich. Then go start a business, hire somebody. Dear Lord, do something. This guy's got people all over the world that works for him. People making money because he's following what's in his heart to do. What a blessing he is to humanity. He'll go to heaven and get reward for that. Well, Christians sit around and think they're going to get some kind of grace because they put a few bucks into a poor guy. Well, I'm going to tell you what, poor guy'd rather have a job than your $10. Well, except today in America, maybe not. give me the $10, I don't want to work. But I want to be a blessing to people. And that's being a blessing. We need to change how we think. We think like the world. We don't follow what's in our heart. You know, as people, just they dream in their heart. Christians dream in their heart about being able to give tons of money or get involved in a certain. Oh, and they dream in their heart. And you know what they do? They let it go and say, it's just dreaming. But what it is, it's God's life working on the inside, trying to talk through all the nonsense of the brain. Why would you want to have dreams of doing something great if you ain't called to do anything great? Now, that's a waste of time. Why would my heart want to do things that I could never achieve nor do? Isn't that dumb? It's in their heart to do. You know, Donald Trump said this. He's got more on the ball than a lot of Christians. God said he did. God said he had. You know what he said? He believes it was his destiny. He said, I've always believed it was my destiny to become president one day. There's something that's been driving this man in his heart all these years, and Christians are running him down. Those same people that run him down have no heart for what they do. At least he's following the vision that's in him. He has a destiny. I'm sorry, but most Christians have no destiny. They're just trying to get by day from day, just trying to make it till tomorrow, just trying to get enough to get by. You wonder why he got $1 billion? He's got billions? It's because he has a destiny and he knows it. And he is following his destiny. He's not following day by day. He's one of those guys that employs people and people work for him. And his workers love him because they say he's generous. They said he's a very generous man. Very good. My words, I know loads of preachers that ain't generous. And here we got a guy ain't even saved and he's generous. Like, what on earth? You talk about crazy. We're living in a crazy world. But I tell you what, we need to change how we think. Because, you know, and I found out I had to change, I had to get different than, because I didn't think like God thought. Socialism got into the church and began to be preached in the church. And socialism is in the church. And socialism will rob you of your dreams. Nobody in socialism has dreams anymore. They're only for a couple people to tell you what your dream's going to be. Hallelujah. I don't want somebody dictating my future other than God. Don't you? Hallelujah. You got dreams in you. You don't let them go. You got those things. Nurture those things. Work on those things. Hallelujah. My words, you ain't even seen hardly any money, Mike, to what's coming. You ain't hardly seen anything. My God. My God, they might, you might need a bank vault that big as your house to keep the stuff. You know? Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.